Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
But the
leaf blowers around and every single lawn, it's like they take turns. It's like going down the block. One day it'll be one lawn, then the next one.
Could put a time limit. Like, say you can't blow before 9 o'clock in the morning or after 5 o'clock at night.
How about you've got 30 seconds to get it done. And after that, it's over.
I love leaf blowers.
Do you own one?
I do. I don't have
any problem with them. I'd be afraid to strap it on my back I'd catch myself on fire.
I hire people to do that.
Right.
Well, it's lunch.
That's what you're supposed to do.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, we're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest, in Friendship Heights, in the District of Columbia, where we are open when this show is on for breakfast, and we will be here tomorrow. It's a five-day week for us. We have Thursday night football tonight. Not much of a game, but maybe you'd want to come and watch it anyway. A lot of pro stuff over the weekend, obviously. And parties. If you want to have parties, call us. We'll cater parties. If you want to give out gift cards, call us. We'll just write you a slip of paper and it'll be good. I'll sign it. You don't have to worry about that.
Do you like to party? Call us.
Yeah. We have celebrities in the audience. First of all, we have Tony Garback here, who's worked for Steve Sands. How many years have you worked with Sands?
I've been there. Next year will be my 20th year.
Yep. And he brought us a bunch of good stuff. So that was very, very nice.
Yes.
We have the great Marty West and the great Peter Hicks out there. Marty, as I've mentioned many, many times, Marty is probably the greatest amateur golfer in this area. At one time was the champion, the Atlantic Coast Conference champion. He's really, really good. Marty and I are exactly the same age, and Hicks is 8 days older or 5 days
what?
Older? 5 days older.
Marty looks at least 15 years younger than
you. Yes.
God.
Marty got
How is that
like
possible?
A young George Clooney
Marty
out there.
Got all the hair jeans. Marty got all the golf jeans. But I'm funny.
Okay? Yeah. Well, looks aren't everything.
I'm funny. All right, so here's what
Is he still good, Tone?
No, he's great.
Still great.
No, it's just like shoot your age situation.
Really?
Beat your age.
All the time. Beat your age. Yes, yes, yes. Marty's a great player. Great player.
Cool.
Michael has had the honor of playing with Marty a number of
times. And ACC champion attended where? I'm sorry.
Marty went
knowing.
To North Carolina.
Okay.
Marty went to North
Asheville
Carolina.
Asheville or?
Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah.
just look at the snobbery from Georgetown. Incredible school snobbery. Hicks went to Amherst.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's impressive.
Amherst.
Hard to get in.
The Lord Jeffs. That's, that's very good. Hicks went to school with my high school classmate, Jimmy Steinman, and Tom Boswell was there when you were there, and David Eisenhower was there at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was pretty famous class. Here's what I want to start with. And I don't know how long I'm going to go with this. And we all should. Okay, yesterday, I watched much of the funeral. I wanted to make sure, you know, for selfish reasons, having to go downtown to do the PTI show, I wanted to make sure to get in my car to be headed downtown before it ended. So I thought, okay, I'll watch some of the eulogies and then I'll get in my car. And then the last eulogy was George W. Bush. And I said, well, I'll watch a little of this. I was weeping, literally weeping at the end of it. And I know I am not alone. Almost everybody I talked to was crying at the end of that. It was an unbelievably great speech. It had humor. It had pathos. It had a son's love for his dad. At the end of the speech, I'm crying for my own dad. I'm crying for his dad, and I'm crying for him. Because that's got to be the hardest thing in the world to do. Not just to eulogize your dad, but to do it in front of so many millions of people, cameras on all the time, to hit the right tone. I mean, everybody was good. I just thought he was exceptional. Chris, you had to be watching.
It was funny. I'm watching for work, and my wife was home texting me because she's just watching to watch. And the one I missed that my wife said was quite good was the former Canadian Prime Minister. And I did not see that, but I did see all the other
all
ones.
All were good.
I thought Alan Simpson was quite good. And I thought, I thought that George W. Bush did a really good job. I think there's a tendency sometimes when you do that kind of thing, obviously it's not a common occurrence, but when you do a eulogy for a very famous person you're close to talk about, a politician to talk about, you know, and he loved office, and to talk about his public life, right? Because he's the president of the United
States.
Right. I mean, he's a big deal. He talked about him almost exclusively. He did mention the presidency briefly, but almost exclusively father,
yes.
husband, grandfather. Yes. He taught me how to be a good man.
Had a bad short game. Got a great
right.
Got laughs all over the place.
He didn't like to dance. You right. know, I mean, and I thought it was an incredibly human treatment of someone who is, for the vast majority of Americans, someone you've only
unknown.
Ever seen on television,
so,
right?
I mean,
someone
I'm,
who you feel is unknowable because they're the president of the United States.
I do. I am one of those people who cries easily. Mm-hmm. I cry at movies all the time. I don't expect to, but I end up crying. And I've always thought about, you know, I don't... It's a little bit embarrassing. You don't want anybody necessarily to see you cry, but that emotion is a very good emotion to have. That's emotion of empathy, an emotion of empathy, and it's very good to have. But I'm standing there watching that. I'm biting my lip as hard as, I mean, crying.
Yeah, it was.
I'm crying.
It was moving, I think, in the best possible way. That it was a celebration of a guy who you knew somewhat publicly for whatever you thought of his presidency. In a private glimpse and celebration of what this person meant to George W. Bush as a father and as a role model in life, as opposed to just in politics.
So
very,
hard,
very
so hard to do. So hard.
And he
to
did
do
it
that.
Really.
By the
really
way,
well.
I thought Jimmy Carter looked great.
Sure.
Jimmy Carter's 94 years old.
Yep.
He
and
looked
so does Roslyn.
He looked great. I've read about them that they are nesters. That they stay, you know, within a 2 to 3 block area from where they've always been. That
yep.
they go to people's homes for dinner on Friday night, and they walk there and they walk back. And there's for all of the things that Jimmy Carter has done post presidency, you know, for Habitat for Humanity and things like that. That they are not, you know, like you don't want to call him up and say, "Hey, I can get you $50,000 if you go make a speech at the Rotary." No, he's not going to do
you know,
that.
And right. Don't forget, I mean, in the context of he looked good, I mean, maybe it was a year ago, maybe slightly more. I mean, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
And
everyone was like, well, I mean, he is 90 whatever. And
yes.
then they were like, 2 months later, like, oh, he beat it.
Tough cat.
Good. He looked good. Did
yeah,
you watch?
I did, and I mean, there's nothing... I guess to just piggyback, human is the word I would have used too. The George Bush thing in particular, and as someone who, and maybe this isn't recent, although it feels recent to me, just about 2 years ago, I lost my dad, it was presented so relatably. I mean,
yes.
versus Mulroney, who was also very good, but talked about him more as a world leader,
yeah,
and that was the
yeah.
man he knew. That was
That's
someone
right.
who worked with him.
That's right.
You know, but the guy who grew up in his house, who butted heads with him, it was just a completely relatable, completely human presentation. It was just presented to me, and so I mean, it completely, completely tugged at my heartstrings. I mean, it's as likable and sympathetic as George Bush has ever appeared
so
to me.
So I don't know if you've done did. I've been to that White House Correspondents' Dinner a number of times, and I went once or twice when he was the president. And he made fun of himself so expertly.
Yeah, he was great at that.
He was so happy to do it. Because you didn't think of him, especially with all the 9/11 stuff and the backdrop of his presidency and the wars, you didn't think of him in that way. People were very critical. Is he smart enough? Is he tough enough? All of that stuff. But they missed the sense of humor. And I got to see it at these dinners. And also, I mean, I had some friends who knew him very well in Texas when he owned the Texas Rangers. And they said he was the greatest hang-around guy in the world.
But even yesterday, with the self-awareness, with the humor, with the timing, with the understanding of the room, he, in describing his father in those very human, in those very real ways, the relatable qualities that you're all talking about, he very lightly and skillfully was making a stance on the political climate that was playing out at the front of that room as he's trying to balance grieving for his father, grieving for this national figure, and also being 10 feet away from somebody who's been attacking his family and who is still trying to lock up the person sitting 4 seats to his left.
That was
a little icy.
That was the other part.
Yeah.
Where you looked at that and you looked at the pan shot in the front row and you said to yourself, what's he thinking?
What? One of these things is not like the other.
What is going through his mind at that time as this man is being praised for qualities, particularly qualities of kindness and empathy that you don't associate right now?
I think America. I think Peter Baker wrote it in the New York Times. I'm not totally sure, but it's the kind of thing he does really well. He wrote a piece to Gary's point about the Trump is so apart from that former president's club.
Well, that's what he ran on.
He said he's president. He's different.
Yeah. Right. It's remarkable. You know, I mean, I think one of the things that people are hard partisans struggle always to grapple with is how could George W. Bush and Michelle Obama be tight?
Or, and they are.
Or George Herbert Walker Bush and the dude who beat him,
right, Clinton.
But it's a very unique group of people who have lived in that life. Yeah. And so there's a commonality they share. Whereas, like, it just felt like you had. Now, he's the current president and bound by a little bit different rules than a former president, right? But it felt like them and him. You know, it was kind of like they were all talking amongst themselves and palling around talking. And
I suspect if you asked him, he would say, "That's right. Yeah. I'm not like them."
Yeah. Correct.
He's not.
In his own words, modern day presidential.
So it's
yeah, I don't think a lot was made of some of the comments people made. And I think it was sort of read into. I didn't feel like anything was said that wouldn't have otherwise been said. You know, I didn't think like anything was directed towards him. I just think the climate is such now that we all sort of see. I mean, you can't help but recognize the differences.
I've got to say, and this is one of the other feelings I had, along with, you know, the weeping for George W. Bush's speech. I could not take my eyes off when they showed the front row.
I just thought, wow, there's no other place on earth like this.
It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. There was a palpable feeling that we were in a timeout. You know, that the timeout would end, the buzzer would sound, you'd be back on the court or back in the ring or something like that. Right. But that we were actually in a timeout where you could breathe. You could breathe and you could allow yourself to hope that whatever was discussed there over the body of this particular president, that some of it would catch on in the ether, and that everybody would inhale some of it, and we'd be a little bit. I don't know if this is true, but that's how I found myself feeling.
Well, you know, the last time, and Susan Glasser, New Yorker, made this point. The last time I think Washington felt anything like this was the McCain funeral, and it feels like is that we only are capable of this at funerals.
Yeah, where people will actually say, but, "Let's just breathe for a while here." So, what do we root for more?
That's
what we're in. What is the position?
Alan Simpson said something that I thought for this show and for how I think we all, I'll speak for us in the room, how
send
we all
me a
approach,
box of that?
How,
did he say la cheeserie?
He did. And he said, and let me say at the end, a la cheeserie, Edith Slosak. No, he said, quote, humor is the universal solvent against the abrasive elements of life. Yeah. Isn't that a great
it
line?
Is. He's
like, that's it. I mean, that's.
That was lovely.
By the way, to Bush to 43's. Ability to sort of laugh at himself. I thought it was great when he said, you know, he was a near perfect man. He wasn't totally perfect. His short game was no good.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't like broccoli. He roasted himself. And then, of course, he roasted his dad. And then he came back and said, of course, he passed all these genetic defects down to us.
Yeah. I thought it was really, really touching. I'm glad. Normally, what I would have done is gotten out and gotten into the car. And I'm really glad that I stayed and watched that. Why don't we take a break here? We'll go back to sports and the sports world. Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks ad. Send the holiday gift that families across America have loved for over 100 years, Omaha Steaks. Right now, Omaha Steaks has a limited time offer for listeners to this high-quality podcast. When you go to omahasteaks.com and you enter the code Tony in the search bar, you'll get 74% off Omaha Steaks Family Gift Package, which is originally $195. It's now $49.99. If you, for example, were to have two partial knee replacements coming up and you were bound to the bed and you couldn't go anywhere, you could sit and eat Omaha Steaks. This
yes.
is what I'm suggesting over
That's
here.
That's delicious.
Order now and you'll get four hand-cut aged to tenderness top sirloin steaks, two savory premium pork chops, four chicken fried steaks, four Omaha Steak burgers, four snappy kielbasa sausages, all beef meatballs, four perfectly browned, not partially browned,
perfectly
browned yes. potatoes au gratin, four made from scratch caramel apple tartlets, plus get four more burgers for free. Omaha Steaks, and this is the thing that Michael and I talked about that we really admire. It's a fifth-generation family-owned company with over 100 years of experience delivering perfectly aged beef hand-cut by master butchers in Omaha. Again, get this limited-time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony in the search bar, and add the family gift package to your cart. Don't wait. The offer will end soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony in the search bar to send the Omaha Steaks family gift package today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes to us from Stephen Dawson, who was with the band Virginia Coalition. And he writes, you were kind enough to play us last year and the year prior around this time. We're locals who used to do this for a living but are now pursuing other less impoverished but also less fun careers. We're playing a show at the Hamilton on Friday, the 21st of December. It has sold out, but he writes, if any of your crew would like to attend, we'd be honored to have you as our guests. Quite confident Nigel and Saliz have nothing better to do. Nothing
Not
much
wrong.
Else to pitch other than the request that you declare on the air that Bobby Gottfried is a Bama. Okay. He's a buddy, and we'll take this as a compliment.
Wow, they went to T.C. Williams.
Yeah, by the way, Tony, I don't know if we talked about this. You saw Hootie and the Blowfish getting back together
yes.
and touring. We're going to have to make arrangements.
So you didn't see the end of PTI last night?
No, I didn't. I'm
sorry.
Where
I went, Hootie and the Blowfish going on tour, shout out, and I went, Darius, call me.
Yes. Okay,
yes.
cool.
So maybe
please,
we
I want in
golf.
On that, just for the record.
Mike Freeman joins us now. Freeman is never with us because every time we want to have Freeman on a Friday, Freeman is going to an NFL game. So I don't want you to feel... slighted in any way, but you're always on the road. So I guess it's smart to ask you to be on Thursday, right?
I will always try to make it work, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm good. There's a sponsorship. You're going to feel proud about this. It's time for NFL Cleanup, sponsored by the Purell brand, a new Purell Singles. Let me get to a bunch of things. Something that occurred yesterday, I was not going to lead with this, but we ended up leading with it in PTI. The Palace intrigue in Green Bay with Winston Moss and the explicit criticism, not even implicit, the explicit criticism of Aaron Rodgers. Is this stuff true? What do you make of this?
So Aaron is, I know him fairly well. He's just a really, he's like a lot of quarterbacks, Tony. He is extremely competitive, wants everyone around him to work as hard as he does. And he gets, like a lot of quarterbacks, fed up with certain things and certain people. And he has been fed up with Mike McCarthy and some of the staff there for years. And I think they've been fed up with him. And all the intrigue you hear about, everything you hear about is true. There was just an impasse. It was just time for a breakup. And that stuff's been going on for years, since 2014 or 15. It's been an ongoing, long time where Aaron has just been fed up with them and they're fed up with him a little bit, and it was time for just things to move on. And there's a feeling that Aaron, I think, just is my opinion, Aaron believes that the organization hasn't always sort of backed him up. And the organization feels like, or some of the coaches feel exactly how that assistant coach said, exactly how that he needs to step up his game. So that's what it's been like. It's been pretty crazy behind the scenes. And one of the interesting things about all of that is how, if that was, Green Bay is still sort of like a little bit like this outpost of the NFL.
Right.
There are some really, really good journalists there. But it doesn't, all that sort of intrigue doesn't get as much attention as if it happened in New York or Chicago or other places. So it's been a little more quiet and a little more under the surface, but it's definitely been pretty bad there recently.
So I like Aaron Rodgers personally. I remember him from Monday Night Football when we didn't get along. I had a chance to play golf with him, and I really think he's smart. I think he's very talented. But it would not surprise me if he got away with stuff that other players didn't get away with. I think if you don't get along with your coaches, it's one thing. But if you don't get along with the other players, then you're doomed. And I wondered, which way does it go? Is it players or is it coaches or is it both?
I don't think it's players. To me, I think it's – I'm sure there it's some players. I'm sure over the course of – he's been there a long time, and I'm sure there have been differences with some players. But it's mostly – it was mostly McCarthy. Like, McCarthy will call a play, it will go in a huddle, and Aaron Rodgers would roll his eyes or say something. You know, like – like that's how it went. It would be like that, and so it was always mostly the coaching staff, and the coaches back each other, the players back each other. But now the whole dynamic sort of switches. McCarthy took most of the heat, and I think it was right. I think McCarthy's offense had grown stale. Some of the things he was doing, his strategies, the way his play calling was stale. It was older. He wasn't doing some of the things you see that Andy Reid's doing in Kansas City, what's happening in L.A. It wasn't a dynamic offense. But now everything switches. So the pressure's going to be more on Aaron now, because the guy he wanted gone, if you're blunt about it, is gone. So they're going to bring in someone else, and it's going to be someone Aaron will approve of. And this is not unusual in the NFL, Tony. You know this. I mean, the quarterback is everything in this league.
Well, this is sort of what I want to get to, which is interesting to me. The only reason to take that job at Green Bay now is the short-term 3 years that Aaron Rodgers probably reasonably has left. That's not a long-term job. I mean, that's you go there for Aaron Rodgers, don't you? Or else you stay away from that job. They don't have anything else.
If you're an innovative coach and an offensive-minded coach, or even if you're a defensive-minded coach and you want the best quarterback in the league, maybe, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, he doesn't look it at times this year, but he's still, I think, the best all-around quarterback in football.
Yeah, so do I.
So do I. You have an opportunity to have the best all-around quarterback in football who still can do everything, who's still great, and yeah, I mean, that's still a really, really great job. But you better perform, because Aaron
That's
he's
right.
mad pretty quick.
That's
and,
right.
And one other thing, Tony, is this is not completely unusual when it comes to quarterbacks. You're right about a lot of players, and sometimes if you don't get along with the other players, that's a bigger problem. But most of the time with the quarterbacks, like, they're kind of divas. They don't get along with anybody. Like, everybody hates them. They're always, like, saying stupid stuff to teammates, to coaches.
Well, Roethlisberger is the king of that. Roethlisberger is the king of diva.
He's the king of that.
Yeah.
Joe Montana was a diva.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand
all
that.
You go down the list, they're all kind of like that.
All right, so let me switch gears utterly and get to Urban Meyer. You hear anything that Urban Meyer might end up with the NFL at either Cleveland or Cincinnati? I mean, I don't know if you're like I am. I believe he will be back coaching in 2 years somewhere. I believe that. What do you think?
He will be back coaching without question. I don't know when it'll happen, but he'll be back. We've seen this movie with Urban Meyer before. I covered him when he was in Florida. And he always sort of thinks this way. I'm going to retire, and then he feels better. It's a miracle, Jesus. And then he comes back.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to happen again. Now, is it going to be Cleveland? I don't know if he's going to go to the NFL. He's had opportunities to do it before, and he's turned it down. He's not a huge NFL guy. So I wouldn't be shocked, obviously. I'd be mildly surprised if it was the NFL. It could always happen.
Yeah.
He's an odd dude, but he's definitely coming back. But I would probably think it's going to be somewhere in college.
Okay. Let me get to Kareem Hunt and the impact of him being released, and quickly released, by Kansas City. You saw just this past weekend, Kansas City couldn't cover against Oakland. And that's a big number, but that game got closer than anybody thought it would. Is there a lasting impact, or do you look at Andy Reid as a guy who is innovative enough on offense that it will not be burdensome?
There's sort of a two-part answer, and I'll make both of it quick. The impact with football and the impact on the league, the impact on football is Andy Reid will always find a way. I mean, you know, Andy Reid has some issues with clock management.
Yes.
But other than that, he's unbelievable. I mean, just the innovation, the complete knowledge of how every aspect of offense and defense works is really, it's only like four or five guys in history who have a command of the game the way he does. It's staggering. I mean, he doesn't win Super Bowls. He's Belichick.
No, he doesn't.
But
it's only been to one.
He doesn't win those, but just the fundamentals of football, he's as good as almost anybody in history. He'll find a way, and he's still got Patrick Mahomes, who was just one of the most electric players in football. Sure. But the greater impact is just for the league, because it's sort of like, here we go again with this stuff. You have a player that does this. There's very minimal punishment. And then a video comes out, and then boom, he's indefinitely suspended. He's probably going to get at least a 6-game suspension. It's like, why can't the NFL get this video and TMZ?
I don't understand that. The only reasonable conclusion is the NFL doesn't really want to get this video, because TMZ gets it all the time.
Now, the NFL will say TMZ pays for it, and we're not going to pay for it.
Why? But why wouldn't they pay for it?
I agree with you.
It's a private.
Pressed for money.
They make billions of dollars. It would cost them $50,000.
It's not a journalistic enterprise.
Yes, get that, Mike. I don't get it.
Tony, the NFL is kind of, you
don't
know,
negotiate with terrorists
a little bit. They don't have enough money to do this. They've only got like $7 billion.
All right? Very odd.
To me.
All right, we've got four games left for everybody. Who are you sure of? Who do you think? Okay, they're good. They're really good.
There's like two or three teams. I still think Kansas City is, despite some of their defensive issues, is still my team. I mean, and we say this every year, and every December, we talk about, well, wait a second, where have the Patriots been? And all of a sudden, they're right there.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, they just win so much. And Brady hasn't looked great this year, but still, I think they're 9-3. I mean, they're still right in there. And the Rams are starting to get healthy again on defense. So that they're, I mean, offensively, they're incredible. And now they're starting to really get healthy. They're getting some guys back on defense. And Aaron Donald is starting to play even better. And he has all the year, which is scary. So there, but I still like Kansas City, because I still think we're seeing a coach and a team at the very, very top of their game.
I would have said those exact same words about New Orleans, and you conspicuously left out New Orleans from your top three.
I would say the same about New Orleans as well, and Sean Payton is another guy that is just tremendous. Head coach, one of the best to ever do it, a really good play caller. I just didn't like what I saw from them recently. It just looks a little odd, but they're still really, really good. And when you have that quarterback, Drew Brees, you can scare people. So. But I don't put them in my top three anymore.
So surprising. Freeman, a local for us, just left the Redskins out of that top three.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah,
I know.
Especially with the quarterback
Sanchez
situation.
Mark Sanchez is the quarterback, Mike? I'm not sure you're aware of that.
Former
conference champion.
It's a disaster.
If
you know
ever
that.
If there's ever a Super Bowl butt fumble, they win. They're number one.
All right, we'll talk to you. We'll make sure that we get you on earlier in the week. Thank you, Freeman.
All right, thank you, guys.
Mike Freeman, boys and girls. There is...
my gosh.
There is police activity outside of Cheddar.
During the time that we were talking, that Freeman and I were talking, a car ran right into a bus.
Yes,
on Wisconsin Avenue.
T-boned it. It's weird.
Just went right into a bus.
Appeared to be taking a U-turn. I saw it as it happened. It just slammed into the left rear tire of the bus. And, it's chaos out there.
Yes. It's one of the rules of life. Don't crash into a bus.
It's
not going to work out for you.
Odds it's an Uber.
Oh,
I think high, because it's making a U-turn on Wisconsin Avenue
during morning rush hour.
Yeah, this is, they do this all the time, those Lyft and Uber things.
Come on, man.
Rules don't apply.
Honestly.
All right. We will have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the rest of the Pure Elliott. Cold and flu season is here just in time for the holidays, no less. We're traveling more, catching up with friends and family, the whole nine yards. And when we're connecting with so many people every day, it's easy to spread seasonal illnesses. And that's why I use Purell products, including new Purell singles hand sanitizer packets. These new single-use packets are super portable, super convenient, and they kill more than 99.99% of most common germs that can make you sick. So if they kill more than that,
that's a lot.
There's not much left.
Right.
Purell is the brand that hospitals trust most to keep patients safe from infection, and the same germ-fighting formula that doctors use goes into every Purell singles packet. Here's the best part. They go everywhere. Grab a handful to keep in the car. Throw a few in your pocket before you leave home. They're individually sealed. There's no mess. Each packet has the exact amount of sanitizer recommended by the CDC. And who knows more about cold and flu season than the CDC? Certainly not that guy driving that car into the side of the bus. So as we head into the busiest time of the year, do yourself a favor and stock up on new Purell singles hand sanitizer packets on Amazon. They can help you avoid getting sick, get the most out of every day. Your well-being is important. Protect it with America's number one hand sanitizer brand. Don't forget, get your Purell singles on Amazon today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Fresh Socks.
Yes.
Fresh Socks from an album called Live Long Enough to Learn, which is available via Strange Famous Records on all streaming and digital outlets. And Seize, S-E-E-Z, he is the performer.
Seize Mikes
says, like you, I barely understand what streaming digital outlets actually means. And also, like you, I want money, so here's my song. P.S., Saliza was very complimentary the last time you played one of my songs.
Yep.
I still hate him.
Well, that's fair.
Michael, if people like Seize Mikes want to get their original music played at in the middle of the podcast and at the end in its entirety, how do they go about
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And are we selling anything?
Yes, go check out
What we're selling
holiday
here.
Cheer,
hopes and dreams.
Holiday cheer, hopes and dreams, and parties.
Go check out the shop.tonykornheisershow.com where you can pick up a golf divot tool for your holiday golfing needs and a official wine tyrant corkscrew and bottle stopper.
That would be very good. Very good.
For all you people that can't finish a bottle of wine by yourself.
Yeah. You have news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We start off with basketball. It was a tale of two halves. The first half, the Bearcats outscored Morgan State Bears 44-28.
We had a 16-point lead. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Unfortunately, the Bears figured out the Bearcats in the second half, outscored them 46-24 for a 74-68 win.
Despite a... I could have gone to that game. The Morgan State's right outside of Baltimore, right?
Yeah, short limo ride.
Another big game by Sam the Sham Sessions. 22 points.
Who's helping him?
JC, is it Shao or Show? Yeah, Shao. He had 19.
You mean the big potato?
That's the backcourt. So the backcourt had 41.
Man, where was Sessions against Northwestern?
He was out there.
You talked him up. But
he was out there. Yeah, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, well, it was tougher competition.
Second half, he was a little bit better.
But. Yes. To the professional league, the Washington Wizards beat the Atlanta Hawks 131-117, improving the record to 11-14. Sadly, the 9-20 record.
Half game out of the eight spot.
Right. So here's what needs to be said. John Wall did not play. And people are going to say, wow, they're so much better without John Wall. Okay, just stop with that.
Season high for assists.
Atlanta is terrible.
Season high for team assists last night without John Wall.
The problems that John Wall creates, we have talked about for years. But Atlanta's terrible.
Yes,
terrible. So you're going to beat Atlanta no matter who's not out there.
One would think.
Atlanta is terrible.
72-point first half for the Wiz.
They're 11-14.
Yep.
They're going to make the playoffs. They have too much talent not to play.
Well, they're 9 now. They're a half spot out. So John Wall, personal reason cited for his missing the game. I haven't heard of any speculation.
Birth of a child.
Oh, wow. Yes, congratulations to John Wall.
Have you heard, speaking of speculation, have you heard potential Lonzo Ball for John Wall
trade? I heard that rumor.
No.
Yeah, I heard the rumor.
That would bring the big baller himself to the DMV. Ooh. You are a hater.
Well, what was reported was that the Lakers had offered Lonzo Ball for John Wall.
Why would you take that if you're the Wizards?
You would need more. You would need more. Of course. No question. But I don't care about anything other than getting Lonzo Ball into our media market.
Right. No, I understand.
Because that's gold, Jerry.
Right. No, I get that. But you've got to have more than that.
Yes.
Lonzo Ball, at the moment, cannot shoot. If Markelle Fultz were not undergoing the yips like this, all conversation about non-shooters would be about Lonzo Ball.
You saw the Fultz thing.
Yeah,
he's diagnosed with like thoracic, neurogenital,
condition for him.
Okay. Like real, some alleged socket disease.
Okay. He went to 10 different specialists in a week. So what this sounds like is, please give me a doctor. Give me a diagnosis.
They found like the Trump doctor with the long hair.
Right. That won't that include
guy?
The fact.
That guy is a world-renowned physician.
That
Gary.
I have
How
an emotional problem and I can't shoot.
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
Doris Burke said something nice on the. I was watching the Philly Raptors game last night, and they were asking her about Fultz, and I think she's great and really good, and she said something about. How he needs another team. Okay. That this is
so
kind of.
Thank you for mentioning Doris Burke, because I think Doris Burke is really, really good too.
Yeah, I would agree.
And Doris Burke was the guest on PTI yesterday.
Oh,
and we asked her about Fultz, and she said something that no other guest that we've ever had in basketball said. She said, "Well, as a mom of a 24-year-old son, I look at this differently than other people do. This is a 20-year-old man." And you know, and he's a kid, and I feel terrible about this. And she did also say she sees no outcome, no positive outcome in Philadelphia. But I gushed. I just thought I said out loud, best answer. That's just the best answer we've ever got. I just thought she was great. By the way, one other thing I wanted to say about the NBA, Philadelphia lost last night Toronto. Toronto's the best team right now in the NBA. They're 21-5. I don't know if they will be by the end of the year. But amazingly, Jimmy Butler, since going to Philadelphia is 9-3 with Jimmy Butler. And since leaving Minnesota, where he was totally toxic, Minnesota is 9-3. That was a deal helped both teams to get him out of the Minnesota locker room and get him to Philadelphia.
I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns was a shell of what he was last year. And now, I believe, I looked last
year,
he got 35 and 12
last year.
All Karl-Anthony Towns needed was Jimmy Butler to go away.
Right. Yep.
That was it.
And Wiggins has prospered as well.
Yep. What else you got?
Well, to get back to the Lakers for a second, it's been an interesting week for LeBron James. A lot of people have been weighing in on him. Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
What is with that?
Why does Kevin Durant hate
no idea.
LeBron James like this?
Why do people need to weigh in on this?
What's weird about Durant is that, all the way up until the "You the Real MVP" speech with his mom.
People loved him.
Loved him. Then there was some stuff. He did a bunch of things with Bill Simmons. He's done a bunch of sit-downs in which he's
totally
clearly a complex character.
Yes.
It's like he is purposely, I mean, it's like professional wrestling. Why like he this? Is like he is made heel. Like a purposeful
he is saying
heel
that
turn.
That
I don't
not,
get
he,
it.
He's not saying LeBron James is overrated. He's saying good players don't want to play with him because he hogs the ball all the time. Young good players, they don't need that. They don't need LeBron with the ball all the time. This makes it clear that Kevin Durant is not going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers, which was in play for a while. I don't know what he will do, but he's been overtly antagonistic. Magic Johnson has said of LeBron James, "We don't want this to be Cleveland. He shouldn't dominate the ball." Kobe Bryant, you know, fresh from the Academy Awards, has said that this is not a recipe for a championship. The last time the Lakers won a championship was 2010. LeBron has won 3 in the interim. I'd like the following thing explained to me. By the way, they didn't make the playoffs last year. I think they won 35 games. They're 15-9 at the moment. They're 15-9 with LeBron James.
After a 2-5 start.
Without him, they're 5-what? I mean, they're
Cleveland.
Yeah, the Cavaliers.
So I would like it explained to me why you would hire LeBron James and then tell LeBron James, "No, we don't want you to do that thing we hired you to do."
Just be a game manager.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
These Magic Johnson's crazy wrong. Kobe Bryant's crazy wrong. LeBron James, his flaw is at the foul line late in games. Other than that, he wins everything. Magic Johnson, who I think is the greatest player who ever played in the NBA, I think that. He was not at 8 straight finals. He didn't do that. True. This guy did that. What are they talking about?
I think it is insane, given what LeBron has done on the court, to argue that he somehow doesn't have the formula. He, you, you can debate this. I never thought that this would be the case, but I think you can have a debate. I still think, because it was in my wheelhouse growing up, I still think Jordan is the greatest of all time.
So does Will.
But there is a debate that can be had where you will not be laughed away.
Well, he's got to win more than three championships, but, I think.
But,
Jordan has six.
But LeBron is in that space.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I didn't see Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain.
Different.
But you're talking about one of the, I mean, you're talking about a generationally great, a multi-generationally great player.
You get LeBron James. You are a contender instantly. Next year, even if Kevin Durant is right about some players, he's not going to be right about all players. Why wouldn't you want to play with LeBron James? I don't think what LeBron is hearing from Magic and Kobe is criticism. I think it's constructive, and I think they care about his health and his well-being at the end of the year, and they don't want him to play too many minutes, and they want his hands on the ball all the time. But when they say things like, he's got to be a mentor to the younger players, he's got to help coach them up. You want somebody to coach him up, hire a coach. You hired this guy to play basketball.
Yes.
He's great. He's the best.
I believe he had 42
last night. 20 in the fourth.
He's 33?
Who cares how old
he is? Like, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter with him. And,
who cares?
And
he's a physical freak.
Yeah,
he's great.
A lot of minutes on that body, but he...
And it just doesn't matter.
I would advise KD, in the words of Omar, you come at the king, you best not miss.
That's
right. And right now, as it stands, which it will not stand this way at the end of the season, that would be a first-round playoff matchup with the Wizards, Warriors and Lakers currently 4-5.
What else you got?
Local politics, Mr. Tony.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, special election to fill a seat on the D.C. State Board of Education.
About 5,000 people voted.
D.C. has a state board of education?
Wait, a state?
That's just what the title is.
Anyway, there's this guy who won. The guy who won is named Frazier O'Leary.
That's right.
And he or somebody representing him came to the house the other day, and
your house,
my house,
okay,
yeah, my house.
Knocking on doors,
he's knocking on doors.
Yeah.
Will you sleep? Will your children sleep at
night? No, I was not there. So
you come to my
anyway,
house.
The
did
next
someone
day,
answer the door?
The next, apparently so.
Peering from the windows.
The next day,
meet Jesse.
People came over with signs to put in the yard.
Oh yeah,
Frazier O'Leary signs. And
many people say you're a Frazier O'Leary backer.
And so I was told. I was told. That the people who volunteered for Frazier O'Leary, who I'm sure is a fine man, and I congratulate him on his victory, I was told that I had said
that it was okay.
That it was okay to put signs up. Well, I didn't say that. Nobody said that. I don't put signs up. This is a long, because of what I did for a long time, because I worked for newspapers for a long time, I vote. I'm happy to vote. I vote in most, if not all, elections. I didn't vote yesterday because I didn't even know what this was. But I don't put signs up. I don't do that on my lawn because I'm, you know, I was Tony Kornheiser of the Washington Post. So I don't do it. I don't put signs up. So that was a misinformation, and I didn't put any signs up. But I'm happy that he won. I think he's a nice fellow. It's been conveyed to me. He's a nice fellow.
You should have allowed the signs to be put in, and while they stood there, you unput them and you tear them up. That's how you show. That's alpha right there.
or come out while they're putting them in and just pour some gas on them and say, I'm just prepping for later. Wait till you leave.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
We will come back. We'll have Old Guy Radio when we return, and we will have Chuck Todd, and Chuck Todd will pick games against the monkey. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's an ad for Origins, and we're happy to do this ad. Go check out the live episode of the Origins podcast with special guest Sarah Jessica Parker, brought to you by the American Express Business Gold Card. To celebrate the launch of the new Business Gold Card, host James Andrew Miller, referred to me by me as Jim Miller, sits down with Sarah Jessica Parker to chat through how she turned her business idea into gold. Known as an actress and producer, she's also a serious businesswoman with advice and best practices to share. The new Business Gold Card helps businesses get the most out of their spending by enabling card members to automatically earn 4 times membership rewards points. Wow. On the top 2 select categories where their business spends the most each month, Business Gold also provides access to a suite of solutions, including a built-in pay over time feature, giving business owners, which I guess I am now, the flexibility and tools, at least today, the flexibility and tools they need to successfully run and grow their business, from managing cash flow to hiring top talent. Visit Amex.com or .co, Amex.co for company, I guess, /business to learn more about Business Gold, and www.originsthepodcast.com to hear the special Origins podcast episode featuring Sarah Jessica Parker. I have a gold card I have a goal, but it's not a business gold card.
That is right, by the way. Amex.co/business.
I thought they left out the M.
But member since?
72. I'm old.
Nice.
Yeah, since 1972, long before anybody here was born.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Under My Thumb. These are the Rolling Stones. This probably was done in about 64 or 65.
66.
66?
Yeah,
okay.
from the album years ago. From the album Aftermath.
Yeah, I've got, well, somewhere in a basement, I've got every album they ever did.
LP, folks.
Why are we doing this exactly?
Because this is the anniversary of the Ultimate Free Concert in 1969.
And this is when the Hells Angels thing happened.
Is that the Stairway from the Brown Acid? Or is that a different event?
That's Woodstock.
This is Cool Out.
This is Cool Out.
Cool Out, everyone.
And this is where Meredith Hunter got in a fracas, and one of the security guards of the Hells Angels stabbed him, and it was during this song that it all occurred.
Hmm. I always thought it was Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah, that's sort
that
of the...
was played immediately
after. That's the legendary song.
But yeah. Yes. Sort of surprised. I always...
Have you seen the documentary on this?
Yeah, a long time ago. I've seen it 4 or 5 times, but I drift in and out on that one.
Yeah, it's a tough concert.
Everybody cool out.
And I think the Jefferson Airplane was on before them, and one of the Hells Angels knocked out Marty Balin in the middle of the set. I mean, it was just...
Can't stand that song.
Yeah.
It's great. All right, one of the best things we do on this show is we bring in Chuck Todd, who is, of course, the host of Meet the Press, and ask him nothing about politics, nothing about the state funeral, nothing about it. We're just about gambling. Chuck had a pretty good late Sunday and Monday last week and got to 3-4. If you have played every number he has told you to play, you're 48-40-3, so you're making money. He was killing it for a while, but you're still doing well. How do you feel about it right now?
You know, I feel better about last week because I believe I said I didn't want to take the Saints, but I just sort of felt obligated.
Right.
And I should have stuck, and I should have followed the rule on Oakland, right? I should have blindly done it. You know, we all knew better. I knew better, but I couldn't bring myself to bet against those two teams. And, well,
here you are. Here you are.
There's trends matter for a reason.
That was the Carvo rule.
The analytics, that's what happened.
Yeah, Carvo.
All right, so we'll start with Baltimore at Kansas City. Baltimore getting 7.5. Baltimore has won 3 in a row with Lamar Jackson, who's not a very good passer yet, but is a very good runner. Baltimore is at the moment, I think, the second wild card team. They're the second wild card team.
Yes.
Kansas City does not have Kareem Hunt, but Kansas City does have Patrick Mahomes. 7.5 is a larger number than I thought. What are you tempted to do?
It is. I just hate betting against Kansas City at home.
Okay.
I'm with you. I wish I could play the Carvel game here and buy the hook. I'd feel a lot better about not having that half point sitting out there.
Would you like to do that? We'll let you do that.
No, I'm not.
30% though.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Up the big, right?
Yeah.
I'm such a degenerate gambler.
I'm going to stick with the Chiefs, but the half point worries me a little bit. But you can't. They're one of the best home field in weather. By the way, they're going to have some nasty cold, right?
I would assume so. I would assume so.
Yeah, that concerns me a little bit. But the Chiefs, I'm sticking with the Chiefs.
Well, that goes into play at 2 games from now when we get to the Rams at Chicago in the night game. Indianapolis is at Houston. Indianapolis is getting 4.5. Houston has won 10,000 games in a row. Indianapolis got nothing last week.
Right.
0 points.
What the hell was that game?
0 points, Chuck. Zero. Andrew Luck's streak of greatness was stopped by Jacksonville. Who you got?
Well, this is a no man's land spread. I mean, let's be realistic. 4.5 means nobody knows what the hell to do with it.
Right.
And that's how I feel about it. I have not gotten Houston right. I think I've said that a bunch. 4.5. It's indoors. That's good for Andrew Luck. I'm going to go with Indy because Houston just feels as if they're not as good as their record says it is. And I know that's not what Bill Parcells would say, but I'm convinced they're not as good as their record. And
okay.
They're going to revert to the mean. So give me Indy.
Indianapolis. This is a weather circumstance. Sunday night in Chicago in December. The Los Angeles Rams don't have that kind of weather in Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Rams are a 3-point favorite at Chicago, which lost last week in overtime, I believe, to the New York Giants. I have no idea on this game. I think that the weather is a factor in the fact that it's only 3 points. That's the only thing I could think of. Because if this was in L.A., it would be a lot more than three. Who do you like in this game?
Well, according to this, if it were in L.A., if you just went by the three-point rules, they'd be 9-point favorites in L.A.
Yeah.
Which actually feels about right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So the line feels pretty accurate. I feel like the Bears haven't played well. And that my guess is, though, this is the game they care the most about.
Trubisky status? Anyone knows
he's
back?
He's going to play.
What does that matter?
Chase Daniel hadn't been great.
I was 1-1.
Serviceable.
It's 1-1.
Yeah. I think Trubisky. I mean, Chuck, do you not think Trubisky has done himself well this year?
I think he's been serviceable, but I don't feel like it's been that much better than the best of Jay Cutler.
Oh, I do.
Not yet. I'm not there. Okay. I mean, maybe. Okay. I mean, he doesn't turn the ball over as much, I guess. He runs the ball better. I'm taking the Bears.
Okay. That'll make Wilbon happy, I think.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears.
Wilbon will be at that one.
Won't surprise him, though.
New England is at Miami. New England is a much better team than Miami, but Tom Brady has trouble in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a history of this, as you well know. New England is giving 8.
Yeah, this is a great teaser game because you can get it up to 14. And then suddenly Miami getting 14 feels even better.
Do you ever think when you're interviewing Angela Merkel that you could talk about point
teaser
spreads?
Games. The and teaser.
Yeah.
I keep wondering. I can't be the only person in my world that is like this. There is a few small people that I have this sort of gambling relationship with that if people knew, they would scratch their heads.
Yeah, yes. Mr. McCrone, would you parlay the Chargers and the Raiders?
I knew England minus 8.
What you got? Anyway, the Miami history, I hear you on.
Yeah.
And New England just, proved that they're going to, they can step up when they have to. I think they're going to play down in Miami. Give me Miami at home.
Miami 5-1 at home this year. I'm looking at that.
Pretty good at home.
And New England clinches the division with a win and effectively would knock the Dolphins out of the wild card hunt.
So and that's
Dolphins
Tannehill?
Season, essentially.
Tannehill's
back, I think.
Big game, Philadelphia-Dallas. Two teams trending upward at the moment. Dallas has looked a little bit better than Philadelphia. Philadelphia Super Bowl champions trying to get back into the playoffs, +4 at Dallas.
+4, okay, because Nigel just sent me it as a pick'em.
Yeah, no, I forgot to put the score down. Yeah,
that'd be nice.
It's a terrible mistake on my part.
No, the +4. +4.
+4. Well, anyway, I am all in on Philly. I think Philly's going to win this division. And I think that this is going to be one of those where they're the team that turns it on late and they're the wild card team nobody wants to play.
Okay.
Or actually they'll win a division, but I'm all in on Philly. I think they're going to keep rolling.
Minnesota, a team that everybody thought might get to the Super Bowl. Seattle, a team that everybody thought was forlorn this year because they had gotten rid of the Legion of Boom. This is in Seattle, a very tough place to play. Minnesota getting 3.5. These are the wild card teams, right? These are the two wild card teams at the moment in the NFC.
Yeah.
So one gets knocked out of the wild card for a while at least with this. Who you got?
I like Seattle here. I like them a lot. I think Minnesota. I'm guessing Minneapolis sports talk radio isn't as angry as Washington sports talk radio, Philly. But I gotta think Kirk Cousins ain't making a great first impression. What do you guys think?
I agree with that. I don't think he's been. He's had a couple of good games, but Case Keenum has played as well as Kirk Cousins, and they got rid of him. Kirk Cousins has not gone in there and lit it up. I mean, the light-up team this year is New Orleans. That's the team where you go, whoa, I'm not sure that I saw that coming. Because you saw the Rams.
They didn't pay. Saw the Rams. They did not pay Kirk Cousins
for this
to miss the playoffs, which is what happens right. if Chuck's correct and right. Seattle wins.
This is the problem with the pay. This is the problem with the pay scale. I mean, he's being paid as one of the five best quarterbacks in the league, and he's not.
That's right.
What is that record of Kirk Cousins against teams with winning records?
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 and 20 something.
Is that right?
Yeah, against teams above 500, he has a horrible career record.
Oh boy! All right, so we'll finish this out.
And that record only got worse last week against the Patriots.
We'll finish this out. The Giants are in Washington. Washington's season just seems to have slipped on a banana peel or two.
What?
The Giants are getting 1.5 at Washington.
No, they're not.
How is that possible?
That's not even remotely accurate.
No.
The Giants are a 4-point favorite, 3.5, 4-point favorite.
What did you send me?
That was the line I saw. Well, I'm sorry.
I love the Giants getting points here. Can I keep that, Nigel? You gave me Giants.
No, sorry, that's a mistake.
That was the Carville line. You don't get that line, Chuck. You need to do a few more years.
I'm sorry.
I told you have to stop sniffing glue before you do this.
What is the line?
The line is either 4 or 3.5. I'm looking at several outlets right now.
I see it now at 3.5. Sorry, when I looked at it yesterday, I must have seen the wrong line. I'm sorry.
Okay. Nigel can confirm it's 3.5.
Now I will play Carville here. You say it's 4 or 3.5.
Take 4.
I will play the Carville game here. Give me the Giants at giving 3.5.
Okay.
Right? That's what I see.
Yes,
so that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take the...
That's terrible on my part.
I'll take the extra half point.
So you will not go with Mark Sanchez.
Board, just so you know, I'm not betting on Mark
You're not going with Sanchez.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going with it. I want to see what other quarterbacks are left. Josh Johnson?
Josh Johnson was a number 3 pick by the Phoenix Suns at one point. If the Redskins don't win this game, they're going to lose them all. They're going to lose the next 3.
Yeah, they might.
They're going to lose them all.
Which is hilarious because this was supposed to be the easiest part of their schedule. Yeah. Sorry, Chuck.
Go ahead, Chuck.
So Major League Baseball, about 10 years ago, when they realized, oh, my God, the Los Angeles Dodgers are owned by a scam artist, right? The parking lot, the guy who owned all the parking lot garages, and they realized he can't afford to own a baseball team. This is turning into a debacle. We're going to force him to sell the Dodgers. When is the NFL going to say?
They're not.
You know what?
No, they're not going to force
One of our
them.
Premier franchises is absolutely destroying the NFL's brand in one of our great longtime markets. Let's go find a new owner.
So that was the Dodger owner was Frank McCourt, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
He was Frank McCourt.
Only in the situations like that and the Clippers ownership, Donald Sterling, where it's like, you know, there's momentum. It's a gots to go situation. Snyder is just
Jerry Richardson the same way.
Right. It's hard to see what's the news that pushes him out.
I don't think they're
so let me just let
I,
me just
I agree. I agree that it's not there, but I mean, if you're the NFL and you're running a business, this is a premier franchise that is being run into the ground.
Closing the loop for you, Chuck. I have not looked at this season, but heading to Minnesota, Kirk Cousins' career record against winning teams was 4-19.
God.
And he was 19-9-1 against 500 or worse, but 4-19 against teams with winning records. 4-20, obviously they lost last week. I'm not sure what else with their other games. But, yeah, not great.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you. Chuck Todd, boys and girls. Again, to our everlasting credit, we did not ask him at all about politics.
Why would he know about that?
Why would we do that? And if we gave you just Chuck Todd, that would be enough. But we give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple.
Everybody join in now.
Nigel's going to the zoo.
Reginald's got the bikes by two. Sometimes he throws his poo, poo, poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blues.
So I'm troubled here. I got this line from you yesterday.
Yes.
You did not include the Philadelphia number at all. You got the New York Giants number wrong. Why should I believe that you will transmit the monkey's picks accurately?
It's a fair point.
The monkey was 0-3 last week. You may have gotten his picks all wrong. The monkey is 15-23-1. That's even bad for a monkey.
I may have an explanation as to why he's had such a poor year. And when I went down to the National Zoo yesterday afternoon, he was surrounded by lawyers. Robert Mueller was there getting right? depositions. Huh? They would not tell me what this is about. Now, I will say this. He has a long, Reginald has a longtime friend, a Russian lemur by the name of Dmitry. So
that could be it.
Yes.
All right.
But I've heard Nigel refer to you as nothing more than his, Reginald refer to you as nothing more than his stenographer.
Well, we have a complicated relationship. I think it's fair to say that. They did take a break from the proceedings to go over some of these games. And the first game we gave him was Indianapolis getting 4.5 at Houston. And he showed me an old newspaper clipping of him at a pancake eating contest with Earl Campbell, J.R. Richard, and Dan Pastorini. Clearly, he's got ties to the Houston area.
I think Houston's a good team. I think they're going to win that game comfortably. That's me.
Reginald feels Dante the same Pastorini. Way. The next game we gave him was the Rams getting 3 at Chicago. And I don't know if you remember seeing this when you watched the World Series.
No, the Rams are getting 3?
Sorry, giving 3.
What are you... Giving three? Did you
it's
tell the
monkey sniffing?
Giving 3 at Chicago. And I don't know if you remember at the World Series, looking behind home plate, Reginald was sitting next to Larry King. And Mary Hart.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, he's actually a member at Bel Air.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you
That's
might
wonderful.
Avail him of that. Yeah. But he's going to clearly take the Rams in that game and give the 3.
I'm actually looking for Seminole members right now for...
I'll ask him the next time I see him.
Let's ask him if he's
And the last game of game, of course, was the Redskins. And this was just an old photograph he had in his wallet of him playing polo with Jack Kent Cook back in the day.
Polo?
Polo? Do you like the Redskins in this game?
No, I don't like the Redskins in any game.
It's hard to
I actually think the Giants, they have the two best players on the field, Saquon and Odell Beckham.
Right.
So I have... And I root for the Giants due to my ties to their ownership.
As has been pointed out a number of times, Eli Manning is not delivering the ball in stride at all to anyone.
Well,
ever.
it's a very easy formula with the Giants. If you can pressure Eli,
you will win.
Particularly up the middle, doesn't like that trash at his feet, you will beat them. If he is given time, he will beat you. Now, the Redskins last week got no pressure against Carson Wentz. I mean, he got
Carson Wentz is far more mobile.
Yes, he is.
Far more mobile than Eli Manning. All right, so that's lovely. We'll take a break. We'll come back with email and
a
jingle.
Yes, we have a new bagpipe jingle.
Fantastic. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
That's a pro bagpipe move.
Yeah, and we see where it's from, right?
That's from Donald McPhee in Alexandria, Scotland.
Yeah.
Dear man of many titles, I'm a loyal little living in Alexandria, Scotland. Big fan of the show. Within the past fortnight, you played a bagpipe recording from Eric Wooten, the official bagpipe of the Tony Kornheiser Show twice. I just want to present you with a recording of the closest we can get on the pipes of your musical mailbag theme song. Your show has brought me many laughs, and the diversity of your show is truly what makes it a highlight of my day. That is fabulous.
That was a nice rendition. Yeah,
really?
That is fabulous.
It's not Gary singing it, but it's good.
Let me thank Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report. Let me thank Meet the Press host and degenerate gambler Chuck Todd for coming on the show today. Let me thank today's sponsors, American Express, Purell, and Omaha Steaks. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Dan Walsman in Damascus, Maryland. Tony, I played the song from the Diane Kruger Effect for my wife and didn't get the results I was hoping for. From Jim Walsh in Annapolis, Maryland, right-handed left sock first. Check with my ambidextrous daughter-in-law. She says she doesn't wear socks. I'll never don socks again without thinking that this show, much like my feet, stinks. Gabriel in Berkeley. From Akiva in Baltimore. Although Gabriel in Berkeley's family were not amused by his argument that Hanukkah should only be 7 days long, as the oil burning on the first day wasn't a miracle, rabbinic scholars find the question most entertaining. In addition to having its own Hebrew Wikipedia page, the question is the subject of 2 full-length books, with 100 and 500 answers respectively. It is commonly attributed to the 16th century scholar Rabbi Joseph Cairo, and is a popular jumping-off point of Hanukkah sermons. Gabriel in Berkeley is one smart goy. There you go. Tim Cree in Fort Collins, Colorado. Here's how I sum up the current NFL season in Washington. Adrian Peterson had a 90-yard run. He didn't make it to 100 yards for the game. That says it all.
Sure does.
Eric Boston, not from Boston, but from Verdon, Illinois. Hearing your views again about New York-style pizza, it's just makes me wonder if you would... If you agree with me about iced tea, it bothers me that we have adopted unsweetened tea. There's no such thing. There's just tea, and tea to which sugar has been added called sweet tea. Are they making sweet tea then removing the sugar? Is that what makes unsweet tea? It infuriates me and drives the person to whom I'm currently related by marriage crazy when I take a stand at a restaurant and order tea and the server asks me unsweet and I have to go to a diatribe about how I just want tea. He's right.
Yes. That guy
He's
seems 100% like the kind of person we'd like to hang out with.
Brendan from Arlington. The next time I hear anyone on the show make fun of Flat Earth Kyrie Irving, I will counter with Battery Denier Tony Kornheiser. Not to be confused, this is funny, with Battery Denier Urban Meyer. Tony on Seeing the First Light Bulb. Light bulb? You can't call it light unless you rub two sticks together to create it. And as always, eat it. Solicit, the worst thing to happen to my Georgetown degree since I dropped it in a toilet.
Why would you do that?
A la Mr. Tony Emmy. That's great. Sean Stanton at St. Sebastian's School in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. First the sedan, then 41 and Gloria Katz, and you say you should read the obituaries to find out what is going on. Don't you mean what has gone on? That's just saying.
Fair
That's
point.
Right. Steve York, a cataloging librarian in Christopher Newport University in Newport News,
beautiful
Virginia.
Beautiful school.
Righty, left foot first, stuff a sock in its saliza.
Oh.
Jacob Ravick, Gaithersburg, Maryland. Listening to the conversation on heavyweight boxing during Monday's show, and Chris chimes in with two punches, me hitting you hitting the floor. Couldn't even get the line right. It's two hits, me hitting you, you hitting the floor.
Where did you
that
say
was
that?
So funny.
Where did you say that person lives?
Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Lock your doors.
Yeah. Casey Corbett in Timonium, Maryland. I was considering a Tesla, but I couldn't afford the extension cord belt. I am who
it's
I
an
am.
Issue.
Mike from Burke, Virginia.
Uh-oh.
On Wednesday's show, after you went over the local sports matters, mainly the Loxley hiring at College Park, you warned us that you were going over the same items with Barry Svaluga. Why do you warn us now? Do you really think we didn't notice that your comments on topic A with guest one on Monday tend to recur on Tuesday with guest two and are served as leftovers on Wednesday with guest three? Man, next you'll tell us, as if you've just thought it up, that the college football playoffs are a television show. I'm guilty.
Come on, man.
I think he's coming at Nigel more than me, though. I think that's a production problem.
Yeah, it feels like it's to me.
Yeah, I don't have time for all of these.
That's a shame. They were great. They saved the best ones for last and didn't even get to
them. You know, I don't have time. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Jesus, am I speaking Chinese? Yeah.
changing the channel, waking up your fever breaks, call of your own heart. Learn to love it, rise above what isn't right. Your life is on the line.
Fresh socks. And always made sure I had a pair of fresh socks, cause I used to hit the road with the pocket full of bricks. Throw 'em at the sky, watch 'em fall in the abyss. Guess I was hoping they would wall me in for risk, but it wasn't legit, too apocryphal to quit. A lock I couldn't pick, a cell I couldn't leave, opportunity knocking on days I couldn't seize. I took a knee to look for keys, found bars that made the bars in the style I'd mistook for free. Somehow it put me at ease, being out of my depth. I lived long enough to learn how to accept, without a crowd to impress. I took a molehill of habits and made a mountain of debt. A pound of my flesh for my point of view, pointed to perspective on what I was going through. And feeling sorry for myself wasn't going to do. Just be clear of what you owe and who you owe it to. So I got more jobs. Then I got to work to get out of debt. And always made sure I had a pair of fresh socks. Fresh socks. Made sure I had a pair of fresh socks, cause my lower back is a mess, y'all. One wrong move and it's like a bomb sets off. So many nights I've slept wrong but kept on pushing myself through the pain, cause I'm headstrong, yielding the best songs born of frustration. Wars I was waging towards observation, disassociation, drifting through the nation on tours that exacerbated poor circulation. More perspiration, my feet were drenched. The system controlling them had a breach defense. When you pull a seed from beneath your friends, they just might land on a need for sense. Now what I need to invent, I once formed into bedrock. A foundation of sex pots, hemlock, rest stops, dead drops, headshots, and cess plots. Of course, let's not forget fresh socks. And always made sure I had a pair of fresh socks, yeah.